Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. As we reconvene this Monday, I want to just remind you at the start that we are in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, which reads, "To the woman God said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children, yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." And we have said that God's punishment for Eve falls in relation to two objects. First, there are the children, and second, there is the husband. Regarding children, there will be pain. Regarding the husband, there will be rule. Last week, we looked at the pain in childbirth and in bringing forth children. And then on Friday, we began our conversation regarding the rule of the husband. That will be our focus as we continue to walk together through the verses in this crucial chapter early on in God's revelation to us. The Bible is God's word, and I hope you join with me in believing this is his holy, inspired, and inerrant in the original manuscripts, and God's infallible word. To know who God is, know his word. On Friday, we acknowledge that women, wives, have lived in pain and sorrow as a result of their husband's rule over them. Human history is replete with men who have severely mistreated women. Man has been a despot, and the woman has been his slave. In many cultures and religions, women have been on the receiving end of severe abuse, treated as not much more than property to be bought and sold and traded at man's will. And this is not just ancient history, but an ongoing and present reality. All of this comes as a result of evil in the hearts of man. Sin makes us totally depraved. Sin makes us radically corrupted. And specifically now, we are talking about sin, man against woman. I must remind you that this rule is all the result of sin. Because of sin, this is what has resulted for women. The kind of rule that has been described is not God's original design for women. God is strongly opposed to the abuse man to woman that I have been talking about. And when we read further along in the Bible, and especially in the New Testament, what we repeatedly find is that God, through Jesus Christ, has redeemed the relationships of wives and husbands. Jesus has lifted the burden for wives whose husbands selfishly and harshly rule over them. So what we want to do is to go to those texts and highlight God's commands for how husbands are to treat their wives. How is the sinful corruption of rule transformed into self-sacrificing love because of the redemptive work of Christ in husbands and wives? This is important to do for at least two reasons. There are more than two reasons, but these are the ones I want to emphasize. And so let me share these with you. First, we definitely want to know how God commands that wives be treated. I am aware I speak to you who are wives to husbands. You need to know how God sees you. And I am aware that I speak to you who are the husbands to wives. You need to know how God sees your wife and how God commands that you treat her, so that what will be shared is instructive to both the wives and to the husbands. What we learn is that only through Jesus can we do what God commands of us. By the way, gentlemen, what I say to you, I say to myself. I submit myself to God's commands for my life and my marriage. My beloved wife listens every day to God Is, and so you can be sure there is no room for hypocrisy on my part. Any hypocrisy will be quickly corrected in my home. This is why I have urged that none of you skip our discussion of this verse 16. There is such valuable application here and in the other verses I will share with you from the Bible. I pray we will listen with open minds and hearts to hear what God is really saying to us, to all of us, both men and women. And that brings me to the second reason why what we will do here together is important. Because women have been historically so viciously mistreated, there have grown up many movements to counteract the injustice done against women. The origin of this is merited, and this makes complete sense. How do we respond when we witness repeated abuse? We are mobilized to do something to stop it, to bring an end to what we have seen. And so it is natural and justified that women and men join together to end the inequitable way women have been treated. However, as Bible-believing Christians, as people whose every action is rooted and grounded in what God says, we have to approach activism His way. What has happened in our culture is that the women's liberation movement and other feminist movements have arisen, yes, in order to address the way in which women have been wrongly treated. But these movements are not rooted and grounded in Scripture. Therefore, those who lead and participate in them have sought to correct mostly in a way that is not biblical. Basically, by way of wanting equity for women, these movements have sought to make women the rulers, to subject the husbands to the wives. And it has been working. In an effort to right the wrongs, there has now been, at least in the Western world, a total reversal of the biblical instruction concerning how wives relate to husbands and how husbands relate to wives. So what we want to do is to acknowledge that God Himself offers stern correction to men who are mistreating their wives, to husbands who are misinterpreting and misapplying their rule. But at the same time, we want to be biblical in doing so. We will stop far short of calling for the kinds of extreme correction offered today to you precious women, loved by God, made in the image of God, who are being sent the message that you now rule, you now dominate, you take the lead, and you subject your husband to your own rule. Our approach is to focus with laser-sharp intensity on what God says, not to busy ourselves with what the leading and dominant messaging of our time says. Here on God Is, we bring to bear God's word on all of our problems and difficulties. And I hope you will stick with us to see how what we will say is developed from the Bible. What we will find is that God and His Son Jesus have raised women, not just married women, but all women. God has raised women to the proper place where you were created and designed to be from the very beginning, before Eve and Adam sinned. To do this, let me remind you of the text read at the end of Friday's broadcast and podcast. Let us remind ourselves of God's design for wives in relation to husbands before sin entered the garden in Eden, before the fall. I am reading Genesis 2, verses 22 to 24. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which He had taken from the man and brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." That's Genesis 2, verses 22 through 24. Highlight again the emphasis, flesh of my flesh, one flesh, be joined to his wife. Be honest, does that sound to you like that supports the definition of rule as treating one's wife harshly? No. How does a man treat his own flesh? He treats it very well. Therefore, how should a husband treat his wife with whom he is one flesh? He must treat her very well indeed. The husband is joined to his wife. The husband clings to his wife. This is not the language of lording it over your wife. This is the language of love and of service and of tender-hearted compassion. You are one with your wife. That was at the beginning, before sin. We have here the woman who is created to be a help to the man, and they are joined together as one. Adam loves Eve, and Eve loves Adam, and together they are going to enjoy one another and God and live forever in the Lord's presence. There is no mention here of the husband ruling over the wife. Please understand that. There is no mention in Genesis 2, before sin, of the husband ruling the wife. This issue of rulership comes up after sin destroys life in the perfection of the garden in Eden. This is what sin does. It taints every human relationship. And we see that in what changes between husband and wife right away after sin in Genesis 3. If we were in a coffee shop together right now with coffee or tea, and of course, let's add that pastry, a cookie, or a donut, or let's add all three. If we were, I would turn over a napkin and draw this picture. At the creation, man and woman would be pictured holding hands side by side. They are equal. I draw a red heart in between them. Next, I picture the implications of sin as man above woman. I draw the man and then a down arrow to the woman to reflect, he will rule over you. They are no longer equal, and there is no heart. But then, I complete my drawing by putting the husband and the wife side by side. They are again holding hands, and the heart reappears. And I label this part of my napkin art, Christ Redeems the Marriage. My picture is designed to show this. God's design at creation, then how sin changed the design, and finally how Christ restored God's design. We will see in the Bible, in the New Testament, all of this when you join us again tomorrow as we continue to discover who God is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.